Hello guys, welcome to another episode of Jane Speaks Podcast. It's so nice to have you here today. I'm sorry if my voice sounds a bit, it sounds somehow, that's because I just woke up and I've just literally had my devotion and this word came heavy on my heart, and that's why I said, I'm just gonna grab whatever I can grab and say this, So today I want to talk about, this morning I want to talk about a topic that is actually, I had a time with someone who is going to be coming on the podcast probably next week. It was meant to be this week, but I've extended it next week because I feel like what I'm going to say now needs to come before that. So we were talking about, we were having a discussion about church, about people leaving church, and the stigma around that, and the things that happens in church. We kind of really, really delve into so many things when it comes to being in the church, which a lot of us, might find a bit controversial. A lot of us might agree or might not agree, and but it was just us, just really, really, just sharing how we feel, sharing how we feel about certain things in the church, that we find ourselves in the church, and probably trying to understand why people, we may never understand why people, the people have various reasons why they leave the church. And I think the one we try to focus on, there's a good part where obviously you're moving on, you've just got married, and your job or something like that. But there are the other parts whereby there's been a sort of friction, a sort of this little disagreement or things like that, which can make someone leave the church and things like that. And this is the things that I personally think is what happens a lot of the time, from what I have seen. And I had a lot of, about 80% of people, why they leave the church is because something, there's been something that's probably been happening in that church that they've just, I've had enough, I'm leaving. That's usually what I've seen and I've come across. I used to say, let me just say this way. I used to say that, there's nothing that can make me leave a church unless, for whatever, when I mean leave a church, meaning that, because I had a disagreement with someone, or I have a fight, or I have that little friction, it may not be little, maybe a big one, with someone, and because of that, or with the church or whatever, I would leave that church. I kind of used to say that, but I realized that that's not entirely true now. I've realized that it's not entirely true, because I'll probably talk more, delve more into that a little bit. I personally don't believe, I still say this up to today that, because what I believe is that there's no church that you go to that there will not be disagreement. There's no church. You hear of these big churches, trust me, they have problems too. Like, every church has problems, because the way I see church is a hospital. And in a hospital, there are a lot of sick people. You don't expect people to be okay. You don't expect people to be perfect in the hospital. No. People that come into the hospital are people that are not well. So there will be stress, there will be problems, there will be issues, because the people that you find yourself around are people that are not okay. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that everybody in your church are not okay. All I'm saying is that we are, including myself and yourself, you go to church to, yes, maybe for companionship, you go to church to hear the word, you go to church to, to praise God, to serve God, but you know also that people that are going, other people as well that go to church, even you yourself, you're going to church for all of that and then more. You're going to church so that maybe you've probably had a bad day, a bad week, or you need healing, you need deliverance, you need to be filled, there's something missing there, that makes you go to church, apart from all the other things. Yeah, but there's still, maybe you're looking unto God for certain things, you're looking unto God for this, you're looking unto God for that, you're praying to God to do it. Every one of us has that, including the pastor. And like I said, even in the church being the hospital, there are people also that come to church. Like we say, the church is not just for believers, it's also for unbelievers. You know, that's what we're saying here when it comes to the hospital scenario. It's for people that are sick. And yes, there are people that are not sick who are working, like the nurses and things like that. But you've had an occasion, you've had issues where nurses became the patient as well. You see, that's what's happening in the church as we are. We've had occasions where the nurses turns out to be patient, or the doctor turns out to be a patient too. We all have that in our lives, and that's how the church is as well. Every one of us, we are not perfect. We are all working, and we are all a work in progress. You know, we've heard of people who have been in the church for 20 years and so, and you may not even be able to see the sign that they are actually children of God. You know, it's tricky, you know, being in the church. There's so much that can be said, there's so much that can be, you know, talked about when it comes to being in a church, leaving a church, going to a church, going into a new church, and things like that. Those are the things that, you know, we'll be discussing in next week with my guest. Like I said before, that the things I was thinking about, I mean, when I was saying that, oh, I can never leave a church or something like that, or no one can make me leave a church. And, you know, in a way, I've had to, even just think, it's just now that I'm thinking about it that I've realized it. It's not as if I've known this for a while. I've just literally just talking about it now. It came to me that I've actually been faced with certain scenarios. And I've seen people around me, you know, I've seen someone around me faced with that same, with certain scenarios that has made them not necessarily that has made them stop going to the church. And I personally I wouldn't say that I've had to go like left the church because of certain things. But I feel like if I have stayed in a particular church long enough, I may have been forced to leave the church. I don't know. That's why I'm saying I'm taking it back. Now, when I was at uni, there was a particular church I used to go to. And, you know, for so long, you know, I felt like if I stayed there even longer, I would have left the church. Because the people that I know back then, which we were really, you know, thinking, they've left the church. So I feel like I would have probably end up leaving as well. But because I had to leave anyway, I finished my course, I had to move back home. So, you know, that was just easy for me, you know. But I felt like, because even the people that were ministers, they were teachers, they left the church. And, you know, and it's not because they had work. It's not because of work or anything like that. They just left. And I thought, ooh, if they can leave, surely, I mean, at the point as well, I would have to leave. But the thing is that even without that, actually, I think, because where I was then, obviously, it was a temporary space for me. I knew that I would have left anyway, whether this or that. Because there was just so many things going on, even right back then, while I was still there, that, you know, I knew at a point when I was on my summer holiday, I didn't go back home. I stayed where I was, but I chose not to go to the church at the time. Because I just needed, you know, you just needed that a change of environment, and you needed that, even though I knew I was going to come back. But, you know, I didn't want them to know that I was around anyway as well. And I knew that, yes, if I had, you know, stayed long enough, I would have left the church anyway. Because so many people, right after I've left and I've spoken to them, they've left the church. Not students, these are people that are actually families and things like that. They've had to leave the church because there were so many things that was happening back then that you just thought, nah, this is not how a church should be run, you know. This is not how a church should be run. It was very, very frustrating. It was very, very frustrating. And I understood why those people would have left the church then. I understood why. There was no doubt in my mind. You know, you didn't even need to tell me. I knew. There was just so much in your faces at the time that you thought, nah, this is not so much to do with, oh, he's a church or anything. It's so much to do with the person, the leadership, the person. You know, if you're working somewhere and you're starting to feel certain way, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling this way because you went to church or because you're working, at a point you would like, okay, it's time to leave, you know. And now thinking about it, I realized that yes, actually, something can make me leave a church, but it has to be, I don't even know how to say it, it has to be like, okay, I was discussing with someone, I said something that I've been to different churches, you know, and I believe, you know, all churches are one. I mean, there are different doctrines, there are different things in different churches, there are different things that they do. And I've been to a church whereby as soon as I stepped in, I just got this warm, fuzzy feeling. The people, that's just so lovely. I don't want to be stereotypical and say, oh, because it's a white church and things like that. But that's usually where you get what you get from. But I mean, I know there are other, you know, should I say African churches or, you know, other type of churches where you will probably get the same feeling. But it's, I must say, in a way, it's a bit rare to find, you know, it's quite rare. In a way, it's quite rare to find, but they are there. I'm definitely sure they are there. You know, I've just not been to them yet. But yeah, I feel like it's just, in a way, I mean, for the churches, that the white churches that I've been to, there's always just been that, you know, cozy, warm feeling that you get when you, as soon as you step into that church. But I did say that no matter how warm or cozy or everything I feel about a certain church, before I can move church or go to any other church, I mean, like, I want to leave a church or whatever, I need to check. I have to be sure that this is what the Holy Spirit wants for me. Because the thing is that it's okay and good to be in a church, but, you know, there's a place that God plants you. I was saying a story that before she became a Redeem member, she went to different churches, and in those different churches, she was just not comfortable there. Not because the church was bad or anything like that, but there was just, with the spirit within, that did not sit well until she got to Redeem. And it's a sign to say that this is where God wants it to be. So that's the way I feel as well, that if at all I'm going to leave a certain church or be at a certain church, I'll let the Spirit guide me. Because where you are as a church or where you serve as a church is very, very important. It plays a big role in your life. And if you are in a place where God does not want you to be, you will not prosper there. That's the thing. And that leads me to another reason. You know, you will not, when I mean prosper, it's like you will not be at your best. That's how I say it. You will not be at your best in that place. It's like, you know, when you plant a seed in the wrong soil, kind of a thing. It will not grow. So I think a lot of the time, sometimes that is probably why some people have left certain church, because it's not probably because they've had a rift, but it's usually what happens at the end, you know, it's usually what happens. But it may have been because this is not where God wants them to be. You know, a lot of pastors like to talk so well about the churches, so well about, oh, you have to come to my church and things like that. But that does not, like I said before, you that in this discussion I was having, that it's not so much about how well the church is, how good or how nice the church is. Sometimes it's not even about the entertainment, you know. So people go to church for entertainment, but that's not what the church is all about. It's not about how well the choir sings or how good, you know, the building looks, or the theater actions, or the theatrical or whatever, all these things. So much, it's not so much about it, it's about the people, you know. And it's so much also about where God wants you to be, you know. It's just like I said, I always go back to the analogy of the hospital. You know, you know that you're working in the hospital, so you know that it's not going to be easy. You know that, you know, you're not taking care of people that are well, you're taking care of people that are not well. Let's say, for example, in a mental health hospital, you know you're dealing with cray-cray people, okay? So you know the challenges that comes, even though you don't know, you should expect the challenges that will come with it. But if this is the hospital that you have probably been promoted to, or you've been positioned, you know what, like, for example, as a nurse or as a student nurse, they put you in a placement. If you have been put in a placement, then you know that you've got a work to do and you have to do it. So that's the way I feel about church, that when God takes you into a church, it's not for you to get all cozy sometimes, you know. It's not for you to get all cozy. Sometimes it's for you to serve. And when I was having this discussion with my guest, he was talking about, you know, the way people, sometimes the reason why people don't stay in a church is the environment, is the way the people are. You know, they don't feel welcome. They don't feel, people already see them and judge them. And that's, and I think that is also vital. However, because, you know, you being someone that's probably, you've known this for a long time and you're strong in the Lord in a way, I mean, to an extent, you understand this and you know that you didn't come here for people to look at you. And even if they look at you or whatever, that's their problem. Even though they have something to say, that's their problem. You've kind of developed thick skin to it, but it's so much for the people who are not, you know, accustomed to this kind of behavior, who are not used to these people looking at them in a very judgmental way. It's easy for them to fall, you know, to fall and not come, you know, not come to your church and this like that. And that's what we, as child of God, as Christians that go to church, we need to have in our mind that there are people who are not as strong as you are. There are people who are not even. I've always read the part of the Bible where Paul was saying that, you know, when you come, I think it was Paul. I've known this for a very, very long time, and I always is like very engraved in me this part of the Bible that says that, you know, when you eat, you know, even if you eat food offered unto idols, because you yourself, you are strong, you know that whatever you eat do not harm you. But if you see a brother or a sister who is not as strong and sees you eating that, you know, that could possibly make them fall, because they've seen you doing it. So you know, what he's trying to say was that you should just, it's okay, you know, it's okay for you to eat something that is offered unto idols, because you're a child of God and you know that it's not going to harm you. But you need to think about that your other brother, that sister who is not strong enough, and you know, and if they go and eat that, it may make them fall. So you need to think about that. And if you think about them, you may decide, or you, then that will help you decide, okay, maybe I should not eat this thing. It's not because you think it's gonna hurt you, but it's because of your fellow brother. That's what I'm trying to say here. So we should always have that mentality about how these people, where they are coming from, when you have a new people in church, or not even new people, people that's also in church that probably you've known for a long time, and you know, something happens and things like that. You need to have that mentality, that not to be so judgy or quick to judge, and just accept people as they are. And you know, the person I was talking to was talking about, oh, love. You know, if you're gonna correct in love, if you're gonna, which is very important. But I also thinking about it, is that word there, correcting love or speaking love, is very subjective. It is very, very subjective, because people define love in so many ways, in different ways. For me, you know, I think I probably said it before, or maybe not. You know, sometimes, you know, for me, sometimes the way you can show love to me is by leaving me alone. I'm just saying, it's by leaving me alone sometimes and just give me a moment to myself, you know. The way you can show love to me is just don't talk to me. I know it's weird, you know, it's weird, but it's just something at a particular point or something, depending on what the situation is. It's just something that I would really, really appreciate and would make so much difference to me if you just don't talk to me. It's not because I hate you, it's just my mental health. It's the way I feel at that point in time. It doesn't mean I'm not going to talk to you or whatever. Or, you know, sometimes is, you know, I'm just, it's just an example anyway. Just don't take it literally. But I'm just saying that people, you know, understand love. You know, we talk about love language. People understand love in different ways. You know, for example, if someone is coming to you, talking to you, thinking to you, for some people they will say, it's too much, you know. Whereas the person in the mind, they're just trying to be, you know, concerned and to show love. Whereas the person on the other side is thinking, this person is too nosy, whatever, you know, that kind of a thing. Or, you know, when people, you try not to interfere with people, but whereas, because you are trying to respect them, probably respect their boundaries, or you're trying to respect, you know, them as a, but on that kind of a thing, some people may think, oh, because you're not doing that, you know, that's the thing. It's quite subjective. So when sometimes you may think to yourself that you're talking in love, you may be thinking to yourself that you're correcting in love, whereas the person in their mind, you're thinking, why is this person all up in my business? They may not accept that as being love, that you're not showing them love. All you're doing is just criticizing them, even no matter what you say. You know, it's even like now, sometimes it's not even so much about what you say or how you say it. They just get a certain vibe, you know, a certain vibe about from you, and they think, oh yes, you're just being, you know, you're not being loving to them. You see, it's very, very subjective. And you know, some of us, we even also think to ourselves that, oh, I'm just trying to be, you know, to talk in love. But a lot of the time, like I was just reading in my devotion today about someone, you know, you saying the truth in love. Sometimes you're not, you may think to your mind, you think you're saying the truth in love, but actually you're probably saying it out of disappointment, out of anger that you don't know. Just because you're talking quietly or you're talking solemnly or calm does not necessarily mean that you are saying the truth in love. Because at the end of the day, it's what's within you. Where is it coming from? That's the thing. Where is that whatever you're saying? Where is it coming from? And I've just learned that today, that I personally like to say what's on my mind. But that doesn't mean that what's on my mind is good. You know, even though in my mind I'm thinking, yes, I'm saying this because it's going to be good for them, but it may not be good at that time, actually. Or whichever way I may be saying it, in my mind I may be thinking I'm saying it the right way, I'm saying it in the most kindest way possible, the most nicest way possible, but in that person's mind you are disrespecting them. I know I've shared something before where I was talking about African parents don't like it when you say the truth. That's exactly what I'm saying right there. In your mind you're saying the truth. All I was saying, I mean, if you listen to that podcast, you will hear the story about all I was saying was just trying to create peace. In my mind I was creating peace. You know, I was trying to create the peace. I was saying everything that was going on, and I did not say it in I said it in the nicest and the most respectful way possible. But I mean, it turns out to be that I was being rude. I was very, very disrespectful by what I was saying. Thankfully, there's someone there to kind of have my back, to say no, all she did was say the truth. So do you get what I mean? That sometimes you saying the truth in love, or maybe correcting in love, can be very, very subjective. Let's just say that we just need the help of the Holy Spirit sometimes when it comes to these things, that you know, we say certain things and we think the person understand, but they will, when you come back and they say it to someone else, you hear a different story. You'll be thinking, but that's not what I said, you know. So yeah, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit. But you know, and as I always say, action speaks louder than voice. So if your voice is probably not saying it's the right way, maybe you should let your action follow it, let your action do it. But you know what, let the Holy Spirit guide you. I think that's what's most important. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in whatever you say or do. You know, we're not perfect, and let's just know that, do what you can. You know, I remember I was saying that, oh, follow peace with all men. Just do what you can and leave the rest to the Holy Spirit, because we are all a work in progress. We are not perfect, you know. Even like I said, people that have been in churches for 20 years or whatever, they still have flaws. You know, you fear the pastors leaving church, pastors resigning, they don't want to be pastors anymore. Do you know how long it took them? Do you know how long they've have to, what they've dealt with, you know, within them, for them to now say, you know what, I put my hands up, that's it, I'm not doing no more. Or, you know, all these ministers or people that have left church or that have just, you know, we don't understand, we don't know what they've gone through, we don't know what they're going through, and we cannot judge. You know, all we can do is just treat in love and let the Spirit guide you, and let the Holy Spirit guide you as to what to do. And you know, that is what I always live by. I am not perfect. I don't think I know how to show love to people. I lack the ability, but I'm letting the Holy Spirit guide me. You know, people might say that I'm not very sociable. It's fine. You know, it's fine. Everyone, people might say that I'm very, you know, whatever it is, it might be that people may think of me. I'm okay with that, you know. I'm okay with that because I believe I'm a work in progress, and whatever people may think of me, whether I go to church or I don't go to church or whatever, it doesn't bother me, because I'm running my race. It's me and God. That's the way I see it. It's between me and God. So whatever you may think of me, it don't matter. It's what he thinks of me, you know, that's what matters. And I remember also saying that, you know, sometimes, yes, you may leave a church, you maybe it's a mistake or something that you've done wrong or something like that, you can reconcile. You know, when you, as long as you go back to God, you know, you are forgiven. Ask God for forgiveness and then move on. Sometimes you may have to go back to where you came from, or sometimes you just continue from where you are. You know, at the end of the day, it's you and God. It's you and God. People can say whatever you want to say, and it just takes me back to recently someone was just saying to me, you know, this is something I want to discuss in another day, but I just say, oh, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. Even though I'm like, it's kind of like people shouldn't be saying that kind of thing, you know. But we don't realize that, especially with the African, you know, older parents or whatever, to just say certain things, you know, because it was okay to say certain things back then. But now it's not okay. You know, you have to be careful what you say to people. And because even back then, it had effects on people. But because, oh, they're your elders, you know, that's how it is, blah, blah. No, it's not. It shouldn't be how it is. No, we can't take it no more. It shouldn't be how it is, you know. So yeah, they'll say, no, it's all your fault. And I'm like, I just smile because I'm kind of used to it. But back then I used to think, you shouldn't be saying that to people, whether, oh, it's your fault. Even if you think it's their fault, you shouldn't be saying that to them, because you don't know how that makes you feel. Especially, I'm saying this in the case of a marriage, or you know, or being a mother and stuff like that. People will always, you know, point fingers at you and say, oh, it's your fault. So if your husband leave a church, it's your fault. If your daughter do certain things, it's your fault. We should not be doing that. Even if you're thinking about it, it's not something you should be saying to a woman. You shouldn't be saying that. Do you know what that woman is going through? Do you know what she's going through as a wife, as a mother? How dare you come from nowhere, you know, without knowing what goes in closed door, to be saying it's our fault. Honestly. Anyway, that is a topic for another day. I don't, honestly, that is a topic for another day. And I mean, we do more harm. We be saying we are mothers or we are elders. Sometimes we don't realize the harm that we do to our children, to our younger ones, by just the words, the things that we say. We experience it ourselves, but we forget that, oh, there are people behind us as well. There are younger ones behind us as well that we might also be going through those things. So we just have to be careful and very sensitive to the things about the things that we say to people. Anyway, that's where I'm going to leave you guys today. Or even the way we act and the things we do to people. We have to be very sensitive, because you think of it as yourself. How would you feel? Just like the Bible says, love others as yourself. So just think about it that way. How would you feel? I know I've said it's subjective. Yes, it's subjective, but what I'm not trying to say is that tread carefully. Think about how the other person would feel. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be free with people that you love and things like that. It's okay to be free, but just be careful sometimes the things that you say to people. That's all. You know, like I was reading in my definition, be tactful. You're saying the truth, but you have to be tactful about the truth, the way you're saying that truth. You know what I mean? So yeah, I hope this has helped someone. I hope this will help someone. And just stay tuned for next week, where we'll be really, really going into this whole issue about the stigma surrounding leaving the church and the things that happens in church. To be honest with you guys, there's so much that I want to talk about when it comes to church. You know, there's so much. And, you know, there's some like topics that we don't tend to talk much about. That's what I would say, in the church, that we should be, you know, and we just turn a blind eye to it and talk as if it don't exist. And these are the things I want to talk about. Okay. And we will be talking about it. Okay. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this today. I hope you've been blessed and you've learned something one way or the other. So thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you again next time in another episode. Thank you guys. Love you. Bye-bye.